it to his son, because one day the one who could save you right now will judge you in the future if you refuse his offer of salvation. And so since he is Lord, then why don't you submit to him and live or refuse and suffer the second death? And so as I try and move to the close, when the shepherds heard the message from the angels, and after they witnessed the worship of the heavenly host, and after they saw the glory of God, they followed the instructions they were given. And then they went to Bethlehem, and they found the baby Jesus. They gave him worship, and they placed their faith in the gospel they heard. And they left Bethlehem rejoicing in their newfound relationship to God through Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus came into the world. He came to give faith and a new life to a multitude who believe on him by faith. And so the text says in verse 10 and 11, then the angel said to the terrified shepherd, he said, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I tell you, he was a baby like no other. I hear Isaiah foretelling the birth of this baby like no other. In Isaiah 9 and 6, he said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I tell you, he was a baby like no other. And so in closing, I thank the Lord this morning that he sent us a Savior. His name is Jesus the Christ, the one who hung, bled, and died for the sins of the world, was buried in a borrowed tomb. But bright early Sunday morning, he got up from that grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. And right now he's seated on the right hand of the throne of God. But he promised he was coming back again. And that's why, in partaking of the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me until I come again. Ain't God all right? I thank God this morning for what he did down in Bethlehem. I thank him for sending his son to be our Savior, our Christ, and our Lord. So let us worship him and praise him for all that he's done. As the songwriter say, I save a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. Just the time that I need him, I tell you, he's always near. He lives. I said he lives. Christ Jesus, he lived the day. He walked with me and he talked with me along life's narrow way. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? I'm talking about that baby that was born in Bethlehem, that baby that was like no other. I'm so glad that Jesus came, because if he had not come when I was standing at the gates of hell, one day I would walk right in. But since the Lord came, he snatched me back from the gates of hell. He saved my soul. Yes, he did. Ain't God all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes. Say yes. Yes, Lord. I'm talking about a baby like no other. You know, You know, when Isaac was born, I know at that time he was a baby like no other. Because Abe and Sarah had him way up in age. Abe was 100. Sarah was in her 90s. And had never had a baby in her life. And I know he was a baby when he was born like no other. But he wasn't like this baby born in Bethlehem. When Abe took him up to sacrifice, the Bible told Abe, hold your hand, don't do him no harm. And on the backside, there was a substitute. That substitute was Jesus in the person of a ram that was caught in a thicket. Because sinful man can't die for sinful man. But that baby born in Bethlehem, that baby, yes, Lord, that was like no other. He came to save the world from their sins. And so, my brothers and sisters, let us not forget as we make our way to the Christmas holiday. Let us not forget what it's all about. It's like about a baby who was born in Bethlehem. A baby.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
With us, those of you who are listening on radio, and those of you watching on television, we pray that something will be said or done today to increase your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible this morning, let me encourage you to stand up with me if you are able. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse number 1. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. While you're turning your Bible, let me remind you, it's election time. please remember to go out and vote. Let me also mention to you, do not bring your candidate list to the church and leave the papers there. In case you don't know, I usually catch all of them and throw it in the trash. I'm trying to save you your money. So my job is to encourage you to vote, but we don't promote any particular person. All minds clear? The book is St. Luke, chapter 18, verse number 1. If you find it, please say amen. The Bible said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. And the parable is simple, that men ought to always pray and not faint. Please remain standing as we pray. Father, we are grateful for another beautiful day. We went to bed last night. We woke up this morning because you, God, sustain us. We just want to say thank you. Thank you that blood is still running in our veins. Thank you for provisions of life. Thank you for our health and our strength. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you will touch us again one more time. Touch our heart. Touch our body. Touch our soul. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, every need in this house this morning is met. Thank you for healing our body. Thank you for making a way out of no way. Thank you for our families, our children, and our grandchildren. Lord, we thank you for long life. Holy Spirit, bless the teaching and the preaching of the word this morning. Glorify yourself in the house. We'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the church say, amen. You may be seated. For those of you that are joining us for the first time, please permit me to mention that I've been teaching a series of lessons on the subject of prayer. The first week we dealt with that subject, we looked at what is prayer. And we concluded that prayer is your passport from the natural into the supernatural. Prayer is what takes you from the physical into the spirit world. And believe me when I tell you, for you to do well in this physical world, you need prayer. The second week, we dealt with how to pray. And we share with you that the best way to pray is to pray the will of God. If you ask anything according to his will, you can be rest assured God heareth you. We also encourage you to learn to pray what we call fervent prayers. God wants to know that you are serious about your request. God wants to know that your prayer is honest. Amen, somebody. This week, I'm going to be teaching you on why we should pray. To be specific, I have 12 reasons that I want to give you. And I'm hoping that one of these will stick in your soul. The goal is to see you and me do better in our prayer life. If you need a topic, I call it the power of prayer. And the focus will be, why on earth should we pray? The first reason I notice is that it's a command. And because God commanded us to do it, we ought to be doing it. Amen. My mama always tell me, of all of our children, one thing she noticed about me, when parents tell me to do something, I do it. So she called me blessed. God is your parent. He is your father. So when he commands you to do something, if you really want to be blessed, just do it. Remember at the wedding, Cana in Galilee, the instruction given when they ran out of wine, whatever he tells you, just do it. So in our text today, God's command is that you and I should always pray. Not occasionally pray. Not pray when you are in trouble. Not wait until you are sick and you begin to scream and yell at God. His command is you and I should always pray. That means you pray when you get up. You pray when you're on the highway. You pray when you're at work. You pray at home. You pray when you're washing dishes. You pray when you're in the shower. You pray even when you're in bed. When you're jogging around the neighborhood, you pray. Pray when you're sitting down next to somebody that won't even talk to you. Pray for your friends. Pray for your enemies. Pray for your spouse, your husband, your wife. Pray for your children. Even pray for your in-laws. Pray for your co-workers. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your community, your state, your nation. Even pray for the dope dealers. Do I have an amen? Pray for hookers out there. Pray even for those who are racist. Pray even for the crackhead out there. Pray for the president. Pray for the governor. Pray for the mayor. Pray for the police department. Pray all the time. Pray, 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 pray. That's God's command. You want to know why we should pray? Number one, because God says so. You pray when you see a newborn. Newborn baby arrive, you say, Lord, I thank you. You wake up in the morning, sunrise, you say, Lord, I thank you. In the evening, you see sunset, you say, Lord, I thank you. When you see a miracle in your life, you say, Lord, I'm grateful. Thank you. You say, thank you when you get up. Thank you before you go to bed. Thank you that you are able to get up. That's something to be thankful for. Just to be able to get up. Yes, your knees is hurting. Yes, your hip is bothering you. But you say, Lord, I thank you that I can still move around. It's always a reason to pray. I don't know about you, at times I forget to bring my reading glasses. And then I say, Lord, I thank you that I can still see. Amen. I went to vote yesterday and it just hit me that I didn't bring my glasses. I say, oh, Lord. But I went by faith anyway. But I read every one of it. I say, Lord, thank you. I can still see. Thank you that you're in your 60s. Thank you that you're in your 70s. Thank you that you're in your 80s. And you're still able to come to church. Hallelujah. He said, pray always. You ought to tell God thank you. Just to be able to clothe you in your right mind, you ought to tell God thank you. You ought to be able to see your children run around. You ought to tell God thank you. Just to be able to move your hands and move your feet, you ought to say, Lord, thank you. Just to be able to sing a song like a bird, you say, Lord, I thank you. You thank God even for your storms. You thank God for your tears. You thank God for your scares. You know why you thank God? Because through all of that, God gives you a testimony. Hallelujah. Now you're stronger. Hallelujah. Now you're wiser. Amen. Somebody, do I get an amen? The Bible says pray in season and out of season. Pray wherever you are, whether you're in your house, whether you're on your job, on the highway, even when you're in the hospital. Always pray. Even when you're in jail, locked up, you still look to heaven, you say, Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah, anyhow. And before you eat, you pray. Before you get on the highway, you pray. Before you go for job interview, you pray. Before you go for surgery, you pray. Before you stand before a judge, you pray. Why? Because God said you should always pray. Look at somebody and say, I got it. Number two, the reason why you should pray is because prayer works. As your pastor, if it don't work, I won't waste your time. Time is precious. But prayer works. It's not magic. It's not voodoo. It's not trick. But I tried it for myself. And I found out prayer works. And if you don't believe me, remember in the Bible, the disciples were on the boat. And Jesus was with them. Sound asleep, the Bible says, concerning Jesus. But when the storm came, somebody had enough sense to cry out to God. He said, Jesus, don't you care? And the Bible said Jesus woke up and speak to the winds and the waves. Peace be still. And there was a great calm. You know the secret to that? Because those disciples cried out to God. That was their prayer. What am I trying to tell you? Prayer works. Not until they cry out. Not until they pray before they see their miracle. Many of you, you're going through stuff right now, and you're just trying to adjust to the trouble instead of you learning to cry out unto God. You remember Peter. One day, Peter was trying to walk like Jesus on water. And after a while, Peter began to sink. Guess what he learned to do? What I'm asking you to do. He prayed, "Oh God, help me." And sure enough, God helped him. What am I trying to tell you? Prayer works. When was the last time you cried out? That's why the songwriters say, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear. I was hurting my ankle. And every time I feel the pain, I say, oh, God." And I'm amazed how my crying out helps me. The doctor said, "You're still walking." I said, "You better believe I will walk." When was the last time you cried out in your pain, in your hurt, even when nobody understands? Remember the blind man by the side of the road. He was there for days, for weeks, for months, for years, begging. But one day he found out Jesus is passing by. Guess what he learned to do? He cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know what I'm trying to tell you? God heard his cry. God healed him that day. Why? Because prayer works. I don't know what you're going through, but if you just hang on to your pain, that's on you. I gave you a reason why you should pray. You don't need to be enduring it all by yourself. Today, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is in the church. And he is ready to help you. He's ready to heal you. He's ready to touch you. But he'll pass by if you are too proud to cry out. So it's on you, it's on me. I'm 61 years old, but there ain't no shame in my game. When the devil gets me cornered, I'll tell the devil, "Don't you let me get on my knees." You see, you're about to mess up now. I cried unto God, "Oh God, help me with my situation. Help me with my condition." What am I trying to tell you? When you need God, when you are desperate, you get to a point in your life you don't care who is looking. You don't care who is talking about you. I'm trying to help somebody. You get to a point in your life you don't really care what anybody say. You humble yourself in the sight of the Lord so he can exalt you in due time. You'll cry unto God, "Lord, I'm sick of this pain. Lord, I'm sick of being pushed around on my job. Lord, I need your help with this child. Lord, I've been enduring this pain. Help me with my spouse so he can act right." Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to call on God. Why should we pray? You pray, number three, to have power over the devil. You all by yourself, you are no match to the devil. But when you pray, you are invoking God's power on your power, super on your natural, so that you can stand the wiles of the devil. Are you still here? Prayer is asking God to interfere in your situation. You know, I would tell people, mind your own business. Well, let me school you. Let me teach you. God will mind his own business until you invite him and say, Lord, I need you right now. Lord, I can't make it by myself. Lord, if you don't help me, I won't make it. You invite God to join in what you're doing. You invite God to join in what you're going through. You say, Lord, I've done the best I can on this child. I need your help right now. Now I put this child in your hand. What is the message? There is power in your prayer. Are you listening to me? In case you're making note, I told you, number one, it's a command. Amen. I told you, number two, it works. Amen, somebody. And because it works, you ought to be doing it on a regular basis. Amen. I remember when my children were going to college. Now, everybody knew I was tough on them. I was rough. I know that too. But I told them, you may think you're grown now. And you may go out there and start doing what you have no business to do. But let me tell you something. When you do what you have no business doing, you're going to be nervous. They said, Daddy, how you say that? I said, because I'm on my knees praying. You go to places you're not supposed to be, you won't be comfortable there. Because mama is praying for you. I say, you know what you are raised with. You know what you've been taught in your childhood. So if you go into places, you know, you don't have no business being, the power of God will zap you. How you know that, Dad? Because I'm praying. Ladies and gentlemen, I am in church today because somebody prayed for me. It's not because I'm so righteous. Maybe you always been holy all your life. No, I can't say that. It's not because I've been so holy, but because somebody prayed for me. I should have been dead. You know my story. Some of you witness it right here with your own eye. But I'm still here today because somebody prayed for me. You know what I'm trying to tell you? Many of you are here too. And the only reason you're still here is because somebody, somewhere, prayed for you. Some of you should have been locked up for you. Hey, right now, yes, I said it. But oh, look at you. You're still here because somebody prayed for you. Some of you spouse, husband, wife, the only reason you are still on your job today is because your spouse, the very person you are abusing, has been kind enough to pray for you. Do I have a witness in the house? I'm trying to tell you, prayer works. Amen, somebody. Can I get a witness? I said prayer works. Let me give you another reason why you should pray. You and I need to pray to survive the odds. There are many crazy stuff going on in this world. So when you're lonely, you pray to survive. When you're desperate, you pray. When you're desolate, you pray. When you're bitter and angry, I don't know about you. Some people just get on my nerves. Yes, I said it. And I just want to flip out. Then I have to pray. Say, Lord, help me. Help me so I don't lose my cool. So I don't act ugly. Help me to beat the odds. Sometimes when I'm confused, I have to pray. Sometimes I go to bed and then I begin to have nightmare. Crazy dreams. And I can tell it's not from God. Guess what I have to do? You have to pray. So you pray to survive. Let me tell you another reason to pray. Number five, you pray so that you can be used by God. Sometimes I'll be talking to young people, and they will say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to be used by God. People in various aspects of ministry, young preachers, they will say, Pastor, I don't need your money. I want to be used by God. Pray. I know you have something. Pray that I be used by God. I remember years ago when my musician, my singers, they would tell me, I want to be professional. I want to be this. I want to be renowned. One time I got all of them together not too long ago, and I pray over them. They were having rehearsal. I say, I want to pray that God will amplify your voice. It's not good enough that you know how to play guitar or play the drum or play the keyboard or organ or whatever. Or you can blow the horn. That don't go nowhere. Except the Lord build your house. Everybody that labors in vain. I say, I pray that God will amplify. You see, this microphone, it allows me so I won't have to be screaming and yelling on top of my tongue. It amplified my voice. Can you imagine when God amplified your voice? You will be heard in nations. I was sitting down with one of my sons in the ministry not too long ago who were talking about money. And I shared with him that my biggest income today comes from receipt from TBN Broadcast. I don't even know who is paying me. I never met them. I just set up a website and set up an account and go on the television and just speak to all of Europe, all of Africa, every day, and they're sending money right and left. All my life I've been begging employers, please hire me, please help me. Not knowing that if God will simply amplify my voice. Believe me when I tell you, prayer works. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by his spirit, says the Lord. If you want to beat the odds of this life, if you want to survive, your secret is prayer. If you want to be used by God, not just be a part of the program of the church, if you want God to take you to places, he said, call upon me. I will answer you, and I will show you things that you never dream of, that you never imagine. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. That's my testimony, you all. I never dreamed that one day I will be preaching to the entire continent of Africa without moving an inch. The other day, I was having a meeting with some of you leaders, and our social media department were reporting we have reached millions. I have to stop the meeting and say, look, break it down to my level. My mind cannot even conceive it. And Sister Faith Washington was trying to show us the numbers. Who would have thought a little church in the city of Pineville, Louisiana, in a state called Louisiana? But when God amplified your voice. So I'm saying to you, if you want to be used by God, you need to pray. Let me tell you another reason why you should pray. Prayer is your responsibility. What did I call it? Your responsibility. It is my responsibility. How do I know that? Jesus said, look, I give you power. So it's all up to you now.
That's it.
To use that power.
Right.
If you don't use it, it's on you. You can tread upon scorpions. You can tread upon serpents. He said, all the power of the enemies. He said, I give you power. And whatever you bind here on earth, I will bind it in heaven. And whatever you lose here on earth, I will lose it in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe with all my heart, majority of what is going wrong in America today is very simple. The people who profess to be Christian won't pray. It is very simple. But 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 say, if my people, am I still in the book? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from my wicked ways, he said, I will hear. Don't get any clearer than that. He said, I will hear. Not only will he hear, he said, I will heal the land. Not speaking Greek or Hebrew. He made it so clear. So guess what's missing? Prayer. Why should we pray? Number 7, prayer is the key to your success. I don't care what kind of business you're in. I don't care what kind of career path you're in. I don't care what kind of ministry, what kind of denomination. If you really want to have success, prayer is key. If you want to live a life of purpose, if you want to live a life with direction, if you want to live a life with power, you got to pray. I was minding my own business the other day. I just went. One of my deacons set me up for physical therapy, Deacon Beauregard. So I just showed up, and everything stopped. I said, huh? I'm just a client. Oh, they say, you don't understand. They say, around here, people come, the house is full, people are doing all kinds of exercise, and they are running their mouth. But the moment you come on television, every conversation stops. Do you think I have that kind of power on my own? It's impossible. I'm just another human being like you. What will make difference in your life, in my life, is prayer. Prayer is the key to succeed. Prayer is bringing heaven on earth. You are literally saying, Lord, I got to have you here. You know how they sing Kumbaya? Where Kumbaya is come by here. You say, Lord, no, I'm not going to work to face all these jokers all by myself today. I want you to walk with me. I want you to talk with me. I want you to speak for me. Prayer is what you need for success. Number eight, why should we pray? You pray to disarm the enemy. You never know how many people out there trying to get you. You never know how many evil around your life. You never know how many evil around your own family. But prayer will make a difference. Are you all still here? Number nine, why should we pray? So you can prevail in any spiritual war. It's not enough to fight. But oh, it's lovely when you win. All right, that's it. If you want to prevail over evil, prayer is how you crown your life with dominion, with authority. That's why the Bible talks about 1,000 may fall, 10,000 by your right. You're just going to be watching them fall, right and left. Not because you're better, but God says, as for you, it won't come near you. Winning, don't be afraid of winning. You ought to play to win. Too many Christians have accepted that some football team I don't like today. Because they'll just lead you on and get you all excited. And then by the time they get close to the Super Bowl, they break your heart. So I said, no, I'm through with this. Ain't nothing wrong with win. You are wired to win. Tell your children. You don't come here just to pass by. You are here to dominate. I don't come to the city just to be another number. I come here to rule, to reign. Ain't no shame in my game. You read the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26. He said, take dominion. And Jesus demonstrated that. You remember when Jesus was promoted? All of a sudden, he began to take dominion. He took dominion over the winds. He took dominion over the waves. He took dominion over sickness. He took dominion over disease. He took dominion over death. He took dominion over grave. Everywhere he showed up, how God anointed Jesus with Holy Ghost and with power, he went about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed by the devil. Yes, they'll talk about you. Don't worry about that. You walk around in power. You walk around dominating. He said, I give you power. Ladies and gentlemen, you are wired to succeed. Believe it or not, you are wired for greatness. Believe it or not, you are wired for prosperity. Why should we pray? Number 10, for the sake of time. So that you can reverse every demonic decrease in your life. There comes a time when you have to look at the devil in the eyes and say, stop it. You know better than that. Stop it. Not this house. Not this church. Not this business. Hallelujah. I never will forget recently on my job, there was some kind of concern. And the boss man, the president said, look, this is what I'm faced with. Let's pray. I said, you finally found my page. You see, all these people with big, big degrees, PhD over there, PhD. I said, I can't explain all the anthropology, all the big science. But one thing I do know, prayer works. I said, give me the microphone. They look around and say, huh? What have we got ourselves into? They say, everybody, bow your head. I say, it's time to pray. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all of your trouble. And he will hear your cry. Through prayer, you can move into the realms of the spirit. I don't have much time left, but I will say this, number 11. Why should we pray? You pray to gain promotion in life. I'm amazed how many of you will call me and write me and say, I want to be promoted on my job. Well, I tell you how to get promoted. You pray. Amen. And I'm not talking about promotion just in the natural. Even promotion in the spirit, it takes prayer to be promoted. Amen? Through prayer, you can move into new realms of power, new realms of dominion, new realms of authority. You remember, in Matthew chapter 4, beginning from verse 1, when Jesus got promoted, you need to know this. When you're promoted, the devil will come and challenge you. Every time you are elevated, you will face opposition. So how are you going to stay elevated? How are you going to stay blessed? You need prayer to establish your legal authority. Are you listening to me? You have to be able to tell the devil, I didn't get here by myself. God put me here. I didn't get this job. See, part of the reason why many of us cannot survive is because you got what you got illegally. Some of you got your husband illegally. And nobody shouting now. Well, let me leave you alone. Some people got their church illegally. Hey, don't turn me off. I never call a single deacon. I never ask for any favor from anybody. If God gives it to you, God is big enough to protect you. If God gives it to you, no devil can take it from you. They may try, but I hear the Lord say, no weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. So stop calling me, well, Pastor, my husband. No, the question is, how you get him? Don't call me, say, this business ain't working. The question is, how did you start the business? God is my witness. Last night, my wife and I, one of our members called, said, Pastor, I've been listening to your teachings over the year, and my wife and I, we just got this franchise. The first question I asked him, how did you get it? Don't just ask me to pray. If God give it to you, no devil can take it away from you. And then you use prayer when the enemy show up like a wind. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. It takes prayer for you to establish your legal authority. Number 12, Why should we pray? To keep you charged up. I always tell you, human beings, we're just like any other equipment. We get run down. We get tired. There's something called wear and tear of the body. But when you need extra grace, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When you need extra courage on your job, you know you're clocking in, you're clocking out, but there comes a time when you just don't feel like going today. Maybe I'm just talking about myself. When you need extra wisdom, you don't know what to do anymore. When you need extra comfort, when your energy is depleted and you need extra boost, you know they come up with some drink now. They call it energy drink. Don't look at nobody. I had never tasted it, not one time. I said, the Holy Ghost is my energy. Do I get tired? You bet you. Do I run myself down sometimes? You bet you. Do I run out of ideas? You bet you. But oh, when I get on my knees and say, Lord, recharge me. I've seen many of you pray over me. Say, Pastor, I pray that God will recharge you. That you recover. Because preaching and teaching, you are pouring out your energy. All these precious people that are singing here, they are pouring out their energy. Sometimes you only see the sweat. But what you don't see is a lot of energy drained. And some of you will come around and say, Pastor, let's pray for you. Let's pray for you. Sometimes they will make me kneel down right in the midst of them. And all those precious deacons and pastors, they gather around me because they know that we get tired sometimes. Prayer is what you need. You pray to God to be recharged, to be re-energized. What is my message to you today? Your place of prayer is your place of power. Your place of prayer is not only your place of power, it's your place of protection. Remember how Psalm 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, your place of prayer is your place of protection. Ladies and gentlemen, your place of prayer is your place of healing. Your body needs healing. Your pastor needs healing. Sometimes I get up, I have to move my feet one at a time. When your body needs healing, your place of prayer is your place of healing. Your place of prayer is your place of authority. Your place of prayer is your place of blessing. I can go on and on. What is the message? Pray. One word. Throughout your day, pray. Pray always, constantly. Don't let the devil have to force you to get on your knees. Make prayer a lifestyle. Amen? I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up and lead us in worship. But I want to invite somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. The person we pray to is not Budu, it's not Allah. It's God. His son, Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him as your Lord and as your Savior, why don't you make a decision today and say, Lord, now I see. If you get the message that you cannot make it on your own, you need God to help you. This is a good day to accept him. Not just those of you who are here, those of you who are live streaming,